the glory of God. Everything that the church does should be for the glory of God. When someone sings, when someone speaks, when someone does anything, it should be to the glory of God, not to that person, but to the glory of God. And I'm going to, last week we covered two of these things that I'll start with today. But when you start looking at the church age and you look at how we're supposed to manifest the glory of God, we got a problem. And that's that we're made in the image of Adam. You know, we're remade in the image of God. And a lot of people get that. They understand, yes, we are made in the image of God, but they don't understand that we have that fallen nature. And then when we're saved, we have the new mind. And we have that image of God. And we'll show that into these lessons today. But the natural man is marked by the deadness of his will. And that's, I think sometimes we expect too much out of the world. We can't expect them to be like us. That don't mean we compromise with them in any way, but I mean our expectations to that man, that's what we'll try to show in this today. But let's start in Galatians 5:17. We used this scripture last week, but let's start and look at it again today. That new man, he has a problem, and that's that old nature. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. A lot of people just don't see that, but it's there. We have a problem, and it's this old nature. And we all have it. I mean, this day and time, people try to humanize God and deitize man. But it don't work. Man has a nature that God never had. All right? Now let's look at Romans 8:7. We also looked at this one last week, and that'll kind of get us off on the trail here. I love these books. You know that. I've tried my best to stay as I teach and get into some other areas like we did with Job, but because the carnal mind, and we'll see some more of this today, the carnal mind, that's the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, watch this. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's not subject to the law of God. We're going to look today in Romans chapter 7 at the law of God. You know what the law of God is? A new nature. That we have the mind of Christ. And the carnal mind is not subject to that. All right? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the spirit, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See, the Christian has the spirit of God. And we're going to look at this as I move on, but I'm going to move quickly and we'll be reminded of this in a minute. In 1 Corinthians 2:15-16, he says, I have the mind of Christ. If you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you have the mind of Christ. There's just a battle that we're allowing to Satan to win. And that's what we need to do. We need to let the law of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus, do its job and take care of the law of sin and death. The new nature, now you got to listen carefully to what I'm saying here. The new nature is not enough. Just because you're saved, that new nature, God gives you a new nature. But he also, there's a third law there that we'll look at in Romans chapter 7. That's the law of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free of the law of sin and death. Brother, it's a battle with Satan that only God can, he's already won it, and only he can win it. Now, this will come clearer as we look at the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, he said, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, redemption, sanctification. He is to get all the glory. That's hard to do. Just standing here thinking, it's hard when you walk up to me and say, man, that's a good lesson. Isn't it? And isn't it hard to say, for pride not to say, yeah, I did it. I studied to it. Hey, I think, you know, God's helped me a little bit with that because I know he'll shut my mouth. Well, I had problems with, and still do sometimes have problems with nerves. I know God, hey, you'll learn to depend on God if you start depending on yourself and doing his work. He will put you in a situation to where you know that you're dependent upon him. And that's, I know that. So that's, God is to get the glory. So Christ is made unto us wisdom. If we, as one preacher said, if we wasn't stupid, we wouldn't need wisdom. Now think on this thing. He has made unto us wisdom. He's made unto us righteousness. If we wasn't wicked, we wouldn't need righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification. If we wasn't unholy, we wouldn't need sanctification. He is made unto us all these things, and he is to get the glory. It is hard, and you recognize this with me. It is hard to look into a man who's doing something for God and see God. Because of our nature, Satan don't want you to see that. He wants you to see that man. Then if you can see that man, he can take part of that work away. All right? So now let's look at, we said the natural mind is marked by a deadness of the will. That will is just dead to do anything for God. And, all right, let's look at, like I looked at last week, we'll go back and look at Romans 1. Distorted worship. The results of Adam's fall. And that's what, when we start looking at all these complications of the mind, we're going to be looking at the result of Adam's fall. This is result, distorted worship. Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. As I said a while ago, man has humanized God and deitized man. We have that nature. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to, we look at something God's do to give a man credit. It ain't going to work long. I told Travis something years ago. He asked me, he said, is this right? Just a young boy. And he asked me something about what was going on in some churches somewhere. He said, is that right, Dad? I said, don't worry about it. If it's not of God, it'll come to naught. It's been gone several years. God, it won't last. The church will last. And Christ, he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But all the side attractions to it won't. So there's distorted worship. That's one of the things you start seeing in Adam's fall. Cain, you start seeing it right in his own children. And I used to have a problem with that when I was younger. I used to have a problem when one brings a sacrifice and the other brings a sacrifice, why God wouldn't accept both of them. As a child, I thought about that. Because I had worked in the fields. I knew how hard it was to raise a garden, how hard it was to grow corn. But you see, I didn't see the blood and see God's plan. So one of the first things that the devil tried to do was distorted worship. And that's what we have a lot today. Distorted worship. And we'll go on. Some of these things are going to pop out as we go. So they deemed that wisdom of theirs, they deemed as an act of God. Is that not going on around us today? They think you're the fool. I'm serious. The world thinks you are ignorant and unlearned. That's why you believe like you do. If they could just educate you. And don't misunderstand me. You know, if you've been in this life long enough, I push education. I've probably spent more than anybody in here on education. And still do sometimes. But, hey, wisdom, first parts of wisdom is fear of God. All right, I'm going to move on. Let's look at Ephesians 4:18. We'll finally get through with what we looked at last week. We always end up, I spend too much time doing that. But the next verses, I think I needed to do this to prepare for them. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They study to be wise, they consider themselves wise, but they're ignorant. And that's just simple. And they have a natural man. He's marked, he's got a dead will. You can talk to that man. I'm going to tell you, you can talk to a man about finances, the stock markets, the sciences, and they'll baffle you with brilliance. And it's right, and it's knowledge. But you talk to them about spiritual things, and they're dead as a doorknob. And you got to go way down to the baby level. Why? Because their senses are not exercised. They don't have the mind of Christ. These things are foolishness and ignorant to them, right? We're moving on now. So in the next part of that fall, the next product of that fall is incapacity. 1 Corinthians 2:14. He has an incapacity. When you go out and start, the preacher's been looking at John, and he brought out some good things about the woman at the well and that soul winning. And like I've told you many times, if you want to see how to witness to people and what will come up in a witness, look at the woman at the well. First, she started off with racial things. You being a Jew, me a Gentile, she started off with that. You'll start witnessing to some people, and the first thing they'll say, well, they'll bring up right. The next thing was she goes on to religious things. Then she goes, the last thing she ends up with is procrastination. She tried to put it off. Everything she did is right in there in that soul winning. But look at this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But that is, okay, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul used a scripture that they was used to in another dispensation and said, now we have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And we'll look at this in just a minute. We have a nature that's supposed to help us when it's supplied by the third law that we'll look at. So, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And look at 4:18, or 1 Corinthians. I hope I didn't lead you wrong. I was in 2 there, but look at Ephesians 4:18. And we get the reason, we get the why. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's why they can't receive those things. Because of the ignorance that's in them. So they have an incapacity. And it's foolishness to them. And then let's look at the reprobate mind. In Romans 1:28, it gravitates toward evil. A reprobate mind. I'm just amazed at how I was talking to the preacher this morning, you know, this problem that the Boy Scouts were having, but it's the kids that went out on the street and held the signs against this thing. Where are the adults? I'm sure some adults supervised them. The little kids against homosexuality go out and hold the signs up. And it kind of backed things off just a little bit. It maybe slowed things down a little bit. But in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And then you got a nation, and we won't get into that. We've been there before. You got a nation that's facing the thing. So you have a reprobate mind. Now look at Ephesians 4:17. You have an empty mind. these are the things of Adam's fall, the results. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. See, like I said, you can talk to that man about banking and all these things, and hey, he can carry on a conversation with you. But you talk to him about spiritual things, God said his mind's empty. Vain, vanity, empty minds. Why? Because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Man studies to become wise and becomes a fool. All right, so you got the reprobate mind, the empty mind, and look at Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Fleshly mind, a carnal mind. Fleshly mind. He got the empty mind and the fleshly mind. I want you to turn to Romans 7, verse 23. And we're going to look at some scripture here for just a little while around Romans chapter 7. Romans 7:23. And I'm going to start reading in verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You see this? This is the struggle of every Christian. And what I want you to watch in this is three laws. You know what we're talking about in laws here, don't you? I've done this so many times in this class is when and drop something. That's a law. That's a law of gravity. So when we're talking about these laws, we're not talking about the law of speed limit out here on the side of this road. We're talking about something God said in order that man can't change it the little iota. As I said a while ago, he can humanize God all he wants to, but he can't change it. He can't do nothing with it. It's set in order. It's a law. This isn't, it's not a man-made law. It's not the Ten Commandments that God give for man to live, which are laws. It's not that. It's a law that just, you couldn't change it with a crowbar. It's not going to be pried away. Now I want you, now if I do that, that I would not even know more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's a law. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know what the law of God is there? After the inward man? The inward man? That's the law of the new man. That's the law of the new nature that I was talking about there a while ago. And when I said be careful to understand me here, but that law of that new nature is not enough to overcome this flesh. And I'm going to show you why. You can be saved and still have some serious problems. But you see, there's a law in you that I don't care. You just can't get away from that. That ain't right. I mean, that voice in you, that new nature, where God is saying, you know better. You know better, boy. That old conscience. You know when you study Romans and he talked, and in Hebrews, where he said, and then the conscience was not, when they took the animals in and did the sacrifice, the conscience wasn't clear from sin. Buddy, I know my sins have been taken care of. My conscience is clear from it, but I know I got a problem. And it's this old nature. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now that's going to be that law of sin and death that we're looking at here in a minute. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the new man. There's a law of the new man that Christ puts in you. But if you have this vain, puffed up mind, this conceited mind, this reprobate mind, you don't have that new mind. You don't have that thing inside you to struggle and say, that's wrong. That pleasure just pleasurizes it. All right? Said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With that new nature, you serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, one thing I want you to watch. When we studied Romans and we studied Paul's writings, we showed where Romans chapter 5 is God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, relationship to sin. The second Adam. Romans chapter 6 is the Christian's relationship to sin and how he's supposed to be dead in it. Romans chapter 7 is the Christian's relationship to the law. And Romans chapter 8 is the Christian's relationship to the future in Christ Jesus. Ain't that wonderful? God's laid it all out. He said he started off here in chapter 5 and he said, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. See, it's a gift. Shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So Romans chapter 5 is Jesus' relationship to sin, but he whooped it. He became sin for us. Romans chapter 6 is our relationship to it. Man, that I would do, I do not. I'm just subject to it. But thank God, Colossians chapter 2, I've been cut loose from it. They very few people in this world and in these churches in America today know anything about spiritual circumcision. I went for years and years and didn't know why on earth God would have circumcised Abraham. Had he done? Why was the circumcision there? As one preacher said, Abraham probably said, "Why there, God?" You know why? Because he had a problem in his seed. That first Adam, that first one, that seed, that problem. There's one coming in your seed, brother, that's of God. You see? And he said, that circumcision will be of God and not man. And you know what it'll do? It'll cut this old body loose from that soul and spirit. You say, "Oh, that's silly." No, it's not silly. That's the circumcision. Let's just look at that right quick, and then we'll get right back to ours. You're going to hear this a lot in my classes if you're ever. You're going to hear this a lot because it's important. It's critical to know, I think. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what you can give a Jehovah Witness when you're talking about Jesus, okay? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Well, how was Christ circumcised? He ain't talking about that circumcision. He's talking about when he was cut loose from God. When he became sin and paid that ultimate debt for us. He was made sin, Paul said. Buried with him in baptism, where also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So, we have been cut loose. But we're still dwelling in it. That's why when the glory filled the temple, the temple was a beautiful building, but that tabernacle was nothing but a badger skins in a desert. But the Shekinah glory of God is in it. And the glory of God filled that place. And now the church is supposed to be showing the glory of God. I tell you, one preacher years ago said, he's talking about when they would do good, evil was always present. One old Puritan preacher said, "When I pray, I sin." He said, "When I preach, I sin." He said, "When I repent, my repentance needs to be repented of." He said, "When I preach," otherwise I understand clearly what he's saying. Because he said, "When I preach, sometimes I preach in the flesh. That's sin." He says, "When I pray, sometimes I pray selfishly. That's sin. When I repent, I don't really repent. My repentance needs to be repented of." Where does that put us? That's why God is no respecter of persons. For that same man, for a morsel of bread, will transgress. God says, just let me get him hungry enough and walk away from him, and he'll steal. He'll cheat. We got a nature. Now, that's no excuse to do these things, buddy. Because if you want to go on, you're looking at man's, and like I said now, Romans chapter 5 is Christ's relationship to sin. Romans chapter 6 is our relationship to sin. And chapter 7 is our relationship to the law, the Christian's relationship to the law. Then chapter 8 is our relationship to the future and how we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh. All right? So, there's the carnal mind. Let me get back to Romans 7. I want to show you these three laws and we'll move on. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So there's a law of a new nature. A man who can go out here and do things and not have a conscience about it, and the whole, and not have a Holy Spirit to gnaw, and he's not there. He's got a carnal and vain and empty mind. Now the Christian is capable of all these things. We'll see that in the last one. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. So the law of my mind is that law of the new nature. And that law that's warring against it is the law of sin and death. The law of this flesh. That's a law. And it's a battle. And Paul fought it all the time. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." But you see that problem right there with those two laws? If we were made to do like, I'm going to use, let's just say Pentecostal. If we're to teach like they do, then we've got to overcome. You see that? We got to get this nature about us that makes us do these things and win the victory. But you see, it's not over. We've looked at Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7. We saw the God, Christ's relationship to it. He took care of it. And the only one can we see 6 is our relationship to sin. And in chapter 7, but look what he does. He subjects another law in chapter 8 that takes care of the problem. And it's already been subjected, but it's the one that took care of the problem. Let's put it that way. There is therefore now no condemnation. You see that? Even though we have that battle going on, even though we have that law that's against us, watch this. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." You see that one? That's it. That's the one that God inserted in there that cured the problem. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. People, you can ask some people, how do you know you're saved? And you'll get certain scriptures. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That'll be one of them, normally. But that ought to be right there. The most important one. Gotcha, brother. That ought to be the most important. For the law. It's a law. That there is a Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. If that man don't exercise that law there and receive that law, which is a gift, we just looked at it a while ago. It's a gift of righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which, now I understand here in this text, and we won't hit much on it, but I understand he's talking about death condemnation here. There's a condemnation to hell, and there's a condemnation for a Christian sometimes that he's not talking about going to hell, but talking about just death. Okay? But let's move on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, then in that it was weak through the flesh, that's the old law, God sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, sometimes we get the Ten Commandments. We go to looking up here. We forget the chapters we just read and go to thinking too much on the Ten Commandments, the law in the wilderness, those laws. But there's some laws he's talking about here the law of sin and death. A man that don't get saved, that don't, it's a law. But the law of righteousness, the only way that a man can be saved is the law. It's the law of righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. He can try every way in this world to gain his own righteousness. Just like Romans chapter 10, going about to seek their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They got to submit to that law of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus. And what we're looking at, now I wanted to stay on this here, but you see, there was a law of the inward man. Then you see the law of sin and death. And you see, there's a struggle for that new man with that old flesh, that old man. But this is hard to say, even hard to, I know it's hard to hear, but it's hard to say. The new man is not enough. It's enough. It's going to get you to heaven, but it's not going to overcome victorious life in Christ Jesus if it wasn't for that law of the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. That's why when you get in here to the next chapter in Romans 8, a man has to walk in the Spirit so he will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We got to read our... Why does Satan fight you on reading your Bible so much hard? Why does he fight you on working so hard? Working, doing work for him, doing something for him. Why does he fight that so much? There's a war. It's a war. And if it wasn't for God inserting this, we wouldn't win a battle. But maybe you don't understand that. I can tell looking in people's eyes they got a problem with that. But I'm going to tell you, he inserted a law right there. Watch this. And we've read chapter 7 here, a lot of it. I'm going to read this and we'll go. For I let's read. I'm going to read 20 through chapter 7, verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Buddy, that's how powerful Satan is. When God calls it a law, and the law of sin and death, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. We're looking at the mind. And there is a law of the mind, which is the new man. The new man has there's a law. If he don't have that, there's a struggle. If there's no struggle there, there's a problem. Right? All right? And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There, why did he go on into this next like this? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of sin and death. And buddy, it's in this flesh. This flesh is sinful and is dead. That's why you have to be quick. That's why you have to renew your mind. We got some more to look at here on this mind as we go in the next weeks. But you've got to renew your mind. How do you do that? Through the Word of God. That's why you're at church today. That's why worship in church is so critical. That it should be worship and it should be the renewing of your mind. That's why it's so important. But you see, there we, if what, if that third law there had not been inserted, think where we would be. Otherwise, if it was really truly what some churches teach and believe. Now, if you don't think I'm right, go get you one up and pin him on these scriptures. And you look, and they'll say that law of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus, they don't come on into chapter 8. They get that first law, warring against the second law and trying to overcome it. But, buddy, God slid something in there, too, in chapter 8. The law of the righteousness in Christ Jesus has already set me free, already set me free from the law of sin and death, and put me in Christ. And you see, I got to have this old tabernacle tore down and get that new one that's like his. And I don't have it yet. And see, that's the hope of righteousness. That hope of righteousness, that I would lay this old tabernacle down and have that new one that didn't have to be circumcised. You follow me? Because it's not that that sin, but that third law, that law of righteousness, which is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free. Free. From the law of sin and death. You know what it's like to be free? Free. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. God.